failure is not the problem. And if it's not the problem, what exactly is failure? Coming up next on this edition of The Parker J. Cole Show. Stay tuned. Welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I am so excited you are here with me today. Really looking forward to talking to our guest today. We talk about failure is not the problem. And many people, when they see the word failure, it has negative connotations with it. But if failure is not the problem, then what is failure exactly? He's going to tell us more about that today on the show. So I can't wait to delve more into this topic. As always, we want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support of PJC Media. If you want to know how you can build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net and find out how they can help you. We also want to thank our partner, Radio App. Radio App is an app solely dedicated to uploading Christian fiction and fiction dedicated to the Most High God. You can find out more about how you can add your books to the app by going to RadioApp.com. In particular, Radio has decided to partner with the Christian Convict Book Club, the CCBC, to provide incarcerated men and women in the USA with nonfiction Christian books. Author and founder of the CCBC, Adam Sharp, stated that reading books as he serves time has undoubtedly changed his life. There are numerous testimonies of prisoners who develop relationships with the Most High God after reading life-altering books. And as a corporate contributor, Radio supports this vision and is inviting authors to do the same. I've been making this announcement now for several weeks because I can't just tell you how important it is as Christian authors to get your books in front of people, particularly our men and women, our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated in the U.S., and maybe the nonfiction book that you have could bring light to a dim place. So prayerfully consider if this is an opportunity for you. Simply go to radioapp.com, and I'm going to give you the direct link, which is ccbc_author-html. But you could just definitely go to radioapp.com and browse through to get more information about that. As always, if you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Winston Churchill and my dad are my personal heroes.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Now, they knew how to boost the morale and confidence of people under fire. Churchill exuded hope, and it was infectious among those he touched. Hope is a pervasive theme in the Bible. In fact, the word is used 175 times. Now, why is hope so important? The Bible says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Hope gives endurance in the face of adversity. My father never lost hope. He always saw the sun over another hill of adversity. Lost hope in your family, business, relationships? Ask Jesus to speak to you. Then begin to feel the power of hope in your life.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Authors and writers, welcome to Radio. Radio App, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks inspired by the Most High God. Radio allows you to reach your target audience who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of sub-genres. Don't let algorithms negatively influence your sales with improper classifications. No longer do your books have to get lost amongst non-Christian content. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to get started uploading your catalog. Readio, the app for great Christian-inspired books.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome to The Parker J. Cole Show. I'm your host, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me on WPJC 104.5. Just glad to have you with me today. Like I said before the break, we're going to be talking about failure. And if failure is not the problem, as my guest co-host and contributor states, then what exactly is failure? How can we use failure in our lives? Does it do something more than just make us negative examples for people not to follow? Or is there something more we need to be aware of? There's so much to this topic, and I can't wait to talk about it with my guest co-host and contributor today. So without further ado, I'm going to bring him on. George, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Parker. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you so much and very excited to have you on the show. It's been a minute coming, but we are here, and I know you're going to have just some wonderful nuggets of wisdom to share with our listeners today. But before I do that, I always have to ask to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much for this awesome opportunity, and I know we're going to have a great time just talking about this most important topic, Parker. So in a nutshell, I guess I'll start at the beginning, which put me on this journey, if I may. But, growing up in a East rural, East Texas environment, parents were, teenagers when I was actually born. So not a lot of hope and promise at that particular point in time. You know, a lot of unfortunate, drugs and these kind of things that are actually happening and actually going on. A lot of love in that environment, but just not a lot of opportunity. And with either of my parents, neither one of them actually graduated from high school. My dad dropped out when he was like in the seventh grade. My mother, when she got pregnant with me, actually dropped out of high school in her junior year. And so because of the challenges with the, formal educational process, I ended up, just from very, very early on in life, failing. I mean, I failed, I don't know if you know very many people that did this, but I, actually accomplished somehow the ability to fail kindergarten, and I went on to fail the first grade and almost every single grade thereafter. My focus, literally, Parker, was on becoming a professional football player. In fact, in order to be able to get the opportunity to graduate from high school, I had to do something, pretty extraordinary for me. And, doing that process of going through, I've just been an athlete, so it's just kind of passed me on. But during my senior year, my counselor comes to me and says, hey, look, you're not going to graduate on time. And that was literally devastating. I mean, you have all this failure in your background. You get to a point where you think everything's going to go okay. And the counselor comes and says, hey, look, you're not going to graduate on time. You'll graduate eventually, but right now you're going to be one credit short of enough to actually walk across the stage. Well, my parents had, prepared themselves, prepared my family members as me being the first high school graduate in the family. And now I have this issue to deal with. And it didn't set very well, obviously, but, I went to back and forth banter with the career counselor, and she just basically said, hey, look, there's nothing we can do. And, and I said that, look, you guys had actually helped me along the way, just kind of passed me, because I had those ability. And they were like, well, at this point in time, that is no longer the case. So after about 2 or 3 weeks of actually just really, depressing, devastation and thinking my life is over and going back and forth to the counselor, I guess she felt so much sorry for me. So she literally said, look, we're not going to give you, an extra credit hour right now, but I'll see if there's something I can figure out. And I guess a couple of weeks later, she called and said, look, got it figured out. This is what we're going to do is the school is actually going to order a correspondence course for you, and that way you can actually graduate on time potentially. And I had no idea what a correspondence course was. Couldn't even spell it at that stage in my life. And as she, went through the process of explaining what it was, I thought, well, that seems easy enough. And then I realized something very, very interesting and very challenging for me is that although it was going to be a correspondence course, and she explained that, you know, self-taught course, you go through the information, take the exam, turn it in, and you pass it, and we will give you, you know, the credit hours, you can graduate. But two unfortunate at that time, I thought, challenges for me were this. One is that it was in a hard science, botany. I'd never heard of that. She explained what it was, and I was like, well, who would want to even do that, the study of plants? What is that for? That was the first challenge, hard science. The second problem was that it was from Stephen F. Austin State University in Nacogdoches, Texas. So how in the world is a kid who is failing high school going to take a self-taught course who can barely read from a university and pass it? Long story short, I actually took the information, went through it, and she calls me to the offices and said, hey, look, you didn't pass with flying colors, but you did get a D. That's good enough. And I went ahead and went on to actually graduate from high school and actually got a scholarship, go to college. And after a year and a half of being at the university, I actually failed out of the university. And that's how I actually ended up in the Army. And before I ever received a degree of any type, I actually failed out of, you know, six colleges and or universities. But once I got into the Army, it was a whole different path altogether. And that started primarily with me changing my mindset regarding failure to see it as positive as opposed to negative when I was at the weapons qualification range. And I failed that. Again, a lot of failures this thing. So after I failed this weapons qualification range, I was really, really put off and didn't know if I was going to be able to even pass the range, let alone graduate from basic training and start my Army career. But in the barracks later that night, Parker, my platoon sergeant, first class Gaither, came to me and said to me after he saw me moping around, and said, hey, soldier, what's wrong with you? And I'd explained to him that I'd failed the weapons qualification range and was just, you know, down in the dumps and, you know, just tired of, you know, all this failure in my life. And he said something that literally transformed my mindset into seeing failure as something really amazing and the greatest resource on the planet. And he simply said, look, failure is not the problem. It's what you do and how you deal with any failure that you come along. So don't focus on the failure, but focus on how this can actually, you know, make you better and not something in which that should be devastating or as it relates to your life. I took that particular lesson, went on, and throughout my career, I, you know, not only did I graduate from college, I have, you know, to this day completed four degrees, two master's degrees, one from the seminary, one from the number one Army college that most Army officers want to go to. And after being told for a number of years that I would never, ever become an officer, Parker, not only did I retire as a Fluid-Bearer Colonel, I actually was actually inducted into the Officer Candidate School Hall of Fame about 2 years ago. So that's just a quick rundown of what failure's actually done for me and how I actually started and where I am to this present day.
What's extremely fascinating is how confident you sound and knowing what your beginnings were and to see that turn into something different. I just can't imagine how that could be so inspiring and encouraging to someone who says, I have failed so many times in my life that they think that's the period of their story. And you're saying, no, it's not the period. It's a change in your mindset. And I would assume that changing your mindset is a difficult process because you have to rethink old behaviors and old attitudes. And as a person who's listening and they're saying, okay, I've failed a lot like George has, and I feel as if I can't make anything of my life, I'm always going down to the dumps. Just based off of your own experience, what are some mindset changes that they have to make when they are looking at that reality of I have failed?
What a great, great point you make. And I don't say that just to say it. I mean, I really, truly believe and know that the point that you just raised is a very valuable one. And the one thing, Parker, that I keyed on is this, is that trying to break those patterns. And when I say patterns, I mean patterns from the standpoint of how we're actually taught. See, when children are at a very, very early age, most don't even know that failure exists until they're actually taught that failure exists. For example, when we were children, I'll use myself as an example, and you and your audience may be able to identify with this, but when I was a child and I would actually go out and try to accomplish something, I would do one or two things. I would either figure out how to, you know, reach that goal or that accomplishment, regardless of what it may be, simplistic though it were as a child. I accomplished it, and I moved on. Or if I did not accomplish it, I didn't worry about it. It wasn't that big of a deal. I just moved on anyway to find something else that I wanted to be interested in or part of or try to accomplish. What happened and what often happens to children is when they fail and they have people in their lives that actually failure and they repeatedly call that particular individual a failure or you failed at this or you'll never be good at that, we internalize that, as did I, as do a lot of people, and it becomes this albatross around our necks. And we associate that failure with negativity. We associate that failure with depression. We associate that failure with never, ever being able to get beyond, you know, where we are to what it is we're supposed to be. So failure is not even something that really, for the most part, exists. And breaking those patterns, it is tremendously, tremendously difficult for most. It wasn't one of those, I talk about it now, but it wasn't one of those situations where it was something that was actually easy. It became increasingly more easy when I learned, you know, as Sergeant First Class Gaither says, that, hey, it is not the failure that you need to be focusing on. You know, failure is simply an experience, as Oprah Winfrey has repeatedly said. In order to be able to help myself, remember how I'm supposed to respond to failure, I do two things. One is that I carry around in my pocket what I call my failure stone. I literally, if I get to a point, Parker, to where I have actually failed something, I reach into my pocket, I pull that stone out, and I remember from which I've actually come. And I remember that, you know, it's not the failure right now. You know, what's going on with me? How am I experiencing this particular endeavor? How can I learn from this? How can I actually get better? That's the first thing. The second thing is in my book, I put this also, I came up with a formula. And the formula is simply this, FS, and that stands for failure plus right response equals success. You take any failure, you have the right response, Parker, and you can become, you know, somewhat successful if you go about it the right sort of way. So in my life, when I broke those patterns of negativity, it literally opened up worlds to me. So failure is not something by which I don't look forward to anymore. In fact, it's not something in which I revel in necessarily, but it's definitely something by which I look forward to from the standpoint of what am I going to learn. In my book, I have a 12-step program that actually can take an individual from thinking of failure in a negative sort of way to really, really focusing, and if they're disciplined enough, to seeing failure as something extremely positive. And I am here to tell you today that failure is the greatest resource on the planet, Parker, if we respond in the right sort of way to that endeavor.
Another thing that you mentioned that I thought was pretty profound is learning how to see it differently. And as you were talking, I was thinking of my own experiences with failure and how sometimes I am the type of person who will simmer on it for many, many, many hours and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that, or I could have did better. So I'm glad to know that if you see failure as an experience that you experience, it actually does change it from it being a negative thing to being a part of life, and that it is a stepping stone to what you say is success. I particularly like the formula you use, saying F plus RR equals S, which is failure plus right response equals success. Now let's talk about right response for a minute. I know this is in your book, mm-hmm. Failure is Not the Problem, it's the Beginning of your Success, and that is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So let's talk about right response.
Okay.
When it comes to right response, are we talking about damage control? Are we talking about mental responses to failure? Or are we having a combination of both? What are some of the things that we have to take into effect when we talk about right response?
Great question. Yes, the quick answer would be yes to all questions, right? Because as you actually stated in your summation here, is that you said one of the things that I mainly do is I dwell on it for hours and hours and hours and hours. That's because we've been trained to dwell on it for hours and hours and hours and hours. That negative energy. What if we took that and transformed it to be positive energy and dwelled on it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours? You're going to have a different outcome. And the outcome is typically somewhat more positive than it would have been if there was a negative dwelling. There is nothing on the planet and or in our lives that we do that doesn't begin with a thought. Everything that we do, think about that for a second. No pun intended, Parker, but everything we do begins with a thought. So if we're going to take all of this negative energy by which we've been taught to see failure, you know, as something in which, oh, you'll never ever be able to get beyond where you are as opposed to where you're supposed to be given the talents, gifts, skills, and abilities that God has given you, and transform that into positive energy, man, the ability to be able to move from where you are to get to where you're supposed to be is going to be a lot greater. So when we look at the response, you know, who was it? Chuck Swindoll had once said that the kinds of things that happen to us, right, when something happens to us, it's really about 10% in terms of what happens and 90% of how we respond. So we've got to literally change our responses, specifically when we're talking about failure, Parker. We've got to change the mindset. I could not have actually done the kinds of things in which I'm doing today if I had not done two things. One is change my mindset, and two, be disciplined enough to be able to take the actions, you know, upon those changes and to really see and to visualize, as I cover in the book, you know, what I want my life to be. Not just becoming anything, because I can't become just anything because of certain limitations. God has given me talents, gifts, skills, and abilities. So when I have pushed on those, I've been, you know, I've had somewhat of a modicum of success. So I am convinced my life has shown me that in order to be where I'm supposed to be, doing the kinds of things I'm supposed to do, and regarding, you know, failure, it's a mindset shift. If you shift that mindset from negative to positive, man, it'll just transform not only your existence, but the existence around those around you. Specifically, you know, I have three kids, and I've always said to them that, you know, when it comes to your grades, I'm not more concerned about your grades as it is you actually learning. So failure in our household was not something that was looked down upon. Failure was an opportunity for us to be able to get better, to get wiser, to get stronger, and to ultimately learn to become the person that we're supposed to be, given the skill sets that we've been blessed with.
And we are talking today to George Milton. He is the author of the book, Failure is Not the Problem, It's the Beginning of Your Success. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. When we come back, we're going to be probing more into Failure is Not the Problem and ask you some more questions. And you have an opportunity to call in and get in on the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome back to The Parker J. Cole Show. The Queen Parker J. is here. So excited to have you with me as I talk to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, George Milton. He is the author of the book, Failure is Not the Problem, It's the Beginning of Your Success. It's available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Really excited to have George here with me today as he flips the script and let us know that failure is not the problem. If anything, failure is an experience, as he quoted Oprah Winfrey. And some people may look upon this as something that's really odd to say because, as George was telling us, we've been conditioned to see failure in a negative light. And one of the things he mentioned before the break and something I was responding to his statements was that when I fail, I tend to harp on it for hours and hours on end. However, George said, what if you were to take all that energy about how you failed and turn it to positivity? And there are ways we can do that. I'm sure his book, Failure is Not the Problem, It's the Beginning of Your Success, has. It has a 12-step program structured on how to change your mindset regarding failure. He also had a formula, F plus RR equals S. So failure plus right response equals success. And so, George, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show as we continue to delve into this topic. Another thing I wanted to ask Another thing I wanted to ask you as we were talking and I was listening to your conversation is if we are to see failure in a positive light, does that mean we aren't to expect people to be exceptional or to do right? I don't know if you want to present it as if you're saying, oh, don't work hard at what you do. So go ahead and give us a nuanced understanding of what it means about accepting failure.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that question. You know, when you said that, a thought came to mind. And then I'm reminded of some reading that I had done on the famed actor Denzel Washington. And it was interesting because he had said, as he was speaking to an audience, he says, you know what? Our faith is incredibly, incredibly important. And, you know, you should be the type of person who is faithful, regardless of what your faith actually is, right? So that's a good thing. He says, you know, and also luck is incredibly important as well. And he ends it by saying that, you know, even if you have the perfect faith of any person within the confines of your particular religious belief system, and even if you have good luck, he says, you still must do the work. So the work doesn't actually go away. And in fact, because I understood that the failure in which I experienced and have experienced in my adult life was going to actually make me better, part of what it encouraged me and motivated me to do was actually to work harder and reaching those points of excellence. And I don't say this to brag, because all the power, all the strength, all the things I've ever done, God has actually blessed me and guided me and given those to me. But in order for me to become a colonel within the confines of the Army, and to become a university professor, and to be inducted into the Officer Candidate School Hall of Fame, it wasn't a situation whereby I didn't work hard. It wasn't a situation whereby I just kind of sat back, took the easy street, and let God do his part and me not do my part. It was a partnership in which I worked with him, given the talents, gifts, skills, and abilities that I'd actually acquired throughout life, throughout birth, and these kind of things that encouraged me and motivated me and propelled me to take that failure and to work exceedingly hard. So it's not about, just looking at failure as, something in which, when I fail, then therefore that's that, so the luck is going to happen, or if I pray enough, no. That's a part of it, perhaps, but you really have to put in the work. And for me, what was important about that is that the failure allowed for me not to be afraid of the work and not be afraid of actually working hard. It actually motivated me to work even harder because I knew that the failure was only strengthening me and make me better as opposed to make me weaker and opposed to, creating situations and challenges that I would never, ever be able to overcome, based upon how I'd actually been taught. And that type of teaching and style of expected negative outcomes given the, place in which I found myself was just totally, totally erroneous and not the place in which it should have actually been. So, no, work is incredibly hard when it comes to failing and or learning in the process.
I love when Denzel Washington was speaking as well. And one of the things he said was, if you fall 7 times, you get back up. And I remember really being inspired by that statement because I can remember so many times getting frustrated at the process. But I'm also reminded of another story that was on the email years ago. This is before social media, so I'll let you know how old I am. But it was before okay. social media. I used to send stuff via chain letters and email or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was a story about a man who God told to push the rock. And he pushed at the rock, and he pushed at the rock, and he pushed at the rock. And finally he stopped, and he said, God, I've been pushing this rock for a long time, and it won't move. And the Lord said, I didn't tell you to move it. I told you to push it. And he said, while you were pushing it, you got stronger, your muscles got bigger, your legs got stronger. He was saying that the process makes you stronger.
Yes. Yes.
And I was seeing that parallel in what you were saying about putting in the work. And I think for the younger generation, this is extremely difficult for them to grasp. They want instant gratification without understanding that there's a lot of work involved in achieving whatever your goals are. I had a young man on the show. He was about 15, and I will never forget him. He had been on Steve Harvey. He had been showed on different TVs all over the nation. His mom and dad were behind him, and he wanted to be a broadcaster. And he said on my show, he said, you are never too young to begin your dream. And one of his dreams was to be a broadcaster. Guess what he is? He's 19 now, 19 or 21, somewhere around there. And he's a broadcaster. And he's talked to senators. He's talked to mayors. He's interviewed sports people, students. And I'm looking at him like, please continue to succeed wherever it's going to go. Please continue. And I'm so happy, but he had to put in the work. And those are important concepts when it comes to talking about failure and the beginning of your success, as I'm sure you can relate to. Another thing I want to ask you about. Oh, go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And in fact, one of the stories in my book is about Steve Harvey and how he himself, when he was in class, and he had a terrible stuttering problem when he was growing up, but that was a time in his life when he was actually pulled in front of the class. And they were asking everybody in the classroom, where do you guys want to be? And, Steve Harvey had come up, and they, the teacher asked him, where do you want to be? And he said he wanted to be on TV. And she basically said, well, look, choose something that's more realistic. That's not realistic for you. I mean, Steve Harvey of all people. So a very, very similar story in parallel to that. So not only did he believe in himself, but his dad. He said they called his dad Slick, right? And his dad was really like, look, son, if you go back to school, if there's something that the teacher wants you to put on the paper, that's okay. You go ahead and write what you want to be, and you stick it here in the drawer at home. And when you go back to school tomorrow, then, put whatever the teacher wants you to put on the paper. But what you do is you believe in what it is you want to become by coming home, reading that paper, and remembering that. So his dad had enough insight, right? to realize that this, you know, impoverished kid growing up in West Virginia had the ability and the desire to become someone who was on television. And what was really neat about this, he, you know, Steve Harvey goes on and he says that, look, you know, every single year, you know, while she was alive, he would actually send her a television for a Christmas present.
That's amazing. I did not know that aspect of his beginning, so I'm glad you shared it with us, because I know that's going to inspire others as they listen to your words and I hope are affected by them. The next question I had to ask you was something that is extremely personal to me, and I have an issue with change. I think many of us do, and I'm going to talk about what I have a problem with, and that's when it comes to money. Me and money have an issue. I won't go too deep into it, but we have an issue. And so I was talking to someone 2 days ago, and he said, well, you have to do X. And I said, I'm not going to do X because of whatever reason. And something said, just listen to what he's saying. So I was listening to it. But as I was listening, I was physically resisting him. Like even my whole body stiffened because I didn't want to hear what he said. So I was actually having a fight with myself. I said, I know I need to hear this information, but I don't want to hear it at the same time because I'm fine and comfortable with how I view this particular thing. And so I'm using that example to have you talk about how do we fight our resistance to change? Because one of the things you said is change your mindset. But when you're comfortable or satisfied, and satisfaction isn't necessarily a positive thing, but you're just used to the way things are, why would you want to change it? So how do we fight the resistance to change in order to get better at who we are as people?
Interesting question. No one's ever asked me that before. But here's what I would say. I would ask it in the form of a question. Do you have a problem with changing? Or do you have a problem with the discipline that is required to change in the first place? See, most people don't necessarily have a problem with change. They've been told that change is hard. Change isn't hard necessarily, is it? I mean, it's just as hard as anything else might be. But the issue at hand is mindset. If you believe in your mind that change is hard, then change is going to be hard. If you believe in your mind that, you know, there are certain things that you have to do to actually change and you have the desire to change and the discipline to change, then change those things. For me to be able to be where I am today, Parker, I had to do tremendous change. But it wasn't until I decided to become disciplined enough to make the change in the first place. So, you know, in order to be able to do those kinds of things, you have to take 100% responsibility for yourself. So it was great that the individual that you had spoken to had said to you, you know, just here are the kinds of things that you need to do. But you have to do, you know, some self-reflection. Some, you know, you have to do deep dive within to be able to look at, you know, what are the results that you actually want? And unfortunately, it gets back and it parallels exactly the way we respond to failure. It was an issue and oftentimes a situation whereby we just really have been conditioned to believe a certain way. And everybody says change is hard. Change is not hard. Change is hard when we believe that change is hard. But change can be easy. There are a lot of things. You know, when I came to the military, in order for me to become a soldier, I had to literally change overnight. Was it easy? It absolutely wasn't. But it was a very, very controlled, structured environment. And in order for me to become a soldier, I had to immediately, you know, get with the program. So when it comes to change, the question for me that I have to you is it really the change or is it really the discipline that you're going to have to actually endure to be able to change? And, you know, for some, I mean, some people may be able to identify and understand this. Who may be much more further along in their maturity as it relates to understanding what I'm saying. And others may say that, look, you know, this is not for me. And that's going to always be, it doesn't matter, you know, where you're from or who you are, your background, these kinds of things. It all comes down to one thing, and that's choice. You have the choice to change or not to change. You have the choice to stay within the confines of your environment or not. In order for me to become the person I am today, Parker, I had to leave that environment. It required a tremendous amount of change. Is it always comfortable? Change always comfortable? No, not necessarily. But the resistance by which we ensue and instill in regards to that change has more to do with mindset, thought processes, conditionings, and ultimately discipline.
What's really interesting is that the gentleman I was talking to, he said, "You are undisciplined." And he wasn't saying it in a mean way. He didn't say it in a mean way.
Yeah.
He was just saying, "You're undisciplined." And that was hard to hear, but at the same time, I said, you know what? If I want to go to a different level, then I have to accept critique. Because I accept critique all the time as a writer. And there are people who say, Parker should never write another book again. She can't write. And then there are people who love your work. You know, it's just part of the industry. So it's just taking that same ability to handle critique in that area to handle critique in this area. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And I'm pretty sure someone who's listening may have had the same question I have. And it doesn't have to be about money. It could be whatever. Just that resistance to change. I like the fact that you put it into context, that you say, is it the change or the discipline? Because discipline, and I'm a person who kind of rolls with the flow a lot. You know, I don't like to always be very structured because I think structure tends to be performance. And I like to see things as very organic, very fluid. You know, just things of that nature. I was trying to get my another word out, but it wasn't coming. But it's funny that you said that. So I'm really glad that you addressed that, because I know someone else may be having the same sort of thing. Doesn't matter what area it's in. It's that resistance. And, of course, I have to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what I love about this verse that relates to everything you're saying is that you can do it. You know, you can do it. It's just mindset change. It's about knowing that if he's the potter, I'm the clay, I can be molded into a new vessel. I don't have to stay in this old vessel. So there's a lot that I know our listeners are going to enjoy. Now, the book is actually a workbook. And it's also part of a series that you're currently working on. So tell us a little about this series and how our potential readers are going to be enhanced as they go through your workbook, read the information as well.
Oh, thank you so much. So interesting that you bring that up. Challenges that I had initially, Parker, in writing this book. I mean, for me, I understood failure, you know, because I'd been living it for, you know, all of my life. I understood, you know, how to respond to it and why, and the path that I was actually on in this journey. But most folks that I've actually spoken to, and this, I mean, this ran the gamut, you know, socioeconomic, and, you know, educational, you know, race, religion, you know, sexual orientation, you name it. It was everybody, right? And without exception, when I would bring up this topic of failure, man, you could see, you know, the angst on their faces. So in order for me to be able to help the reader really get to a point to where they're comfortable with actually reading my book, I mean, just they didn't want to talk about it, but just, I mean, to pick it up and read it, I actually wrote the book. I wrote a workbook, and also wrote a journal. And I wrote those all at the same time and released them this past March. And it was literally because folks were struggling with this one word. This talking about failure is so difficult for most people because of how we've been conditioned to see it as negativity. So not only do I have this particular book, Failure is Not the Problem, It's the Beginning of Your Success, I'm starting to write my second book, Failure is Not the Problem, It's Your Leadership. The phrase failure is not the problem is actually registered to me through the United States Patent and Trademark Office. I also have a logo that actually it's the failure is not the problem with the basically a frowny face in the center, and that's also registered to me also. So the series is about four or five books, and it deals with, you know, success from the standpoint of failure. It deals with failure is not the problem. It's, you know, it's your leadership. I have another one that I'm working on is failure is not the problem. It's your relationship. Failure is not the problem. It's your faith. Right, and then the other one is failure is not the problem. It's your PTSD, and that deals with primarily soldiers who are struggling with, you know, going to the medical facilities, whereby, you know, we've created a culture in the Army, you know, specifically in the military generally, whereby when soldiers have come back from combative environments, you know, you're taught to be this tough, mean, you know, fighting machine and those kinds of things, and we're never ever taught that to go and get the healing and these kinds of things. So
I think it's imperative for me to, you know, write something along those lines. I've been in combat, you know, 5 times myself, and I mean actual force-on-force combat sort of thing. So I definitely see a need for that. So I want people that are within the confines of the military to understand that it's not the failure that's the issue. The issue is that we have to change the culture to where we make it okay for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen to go get the help by which they actually need.
You know, I really commend you for mentioning about our brothers and sisters in the armed forces. And recently we gave ode to veterans. And when you think about that they sacrifice so I can be doing this, it really does disgust you when we treat them badly. And it's, I was talking to a young man in Australia. He was like, it's bad here when our soldiers come back from combat. I can't imagine what it's like in America. That's what he said. And I was like, yeah, we should definitely do better about that. So I really like the tone of this series. Failure is not the problem. It's XXXX. And that is actually going to be revolutionizing for those of us who are trying to work through different things. I wasn't going to mention it, but I'm glad you already did, because you said failure is not the problem, it's your relationship. And I was thinking about people who fail in relationships, marriages, business relationships, friendships, things of that nature. I know for myself, and I've spoken about it before, when I ended a friendship I had cherished for 20 years because I discovered that the same friendship I had for so-and-so, they didn't have for me. It about killed me, because if this is a 20-year friendship and to find out it never existed was really hard. And I felt as if, am I just the type of person who just accepts people and don't have enough discernment, you know? And I said, well, at the time, though, it was a physical ache to me. But now I can look back on it and I say, you know what, I'm still happy that I had that person in my life at different points, and I can look back and say, okay, it wasn't all bad, it wasn't all this. But it took a long time to get there. So I'm really interested in what, when you come back on the show, I'm really interested in talking about that as well, so people can get freedom when it comes to relationships and, you know, self-reflection, things of that nature. I do see some of our callers listening in. So if you still want to call in and ask a question, you can. All you have to do is press 1, and we'll make sure that you have a chance to talk to George. It looks like we do have a caller. We have a caller from Nashville. Caller, how are you doing today?
I'm very good. I'm very, very good. I'm having a wonderful day. How y'all feeling?
Doing well. Thank you so much.
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
Man, I love the fact that you're willing to go to the deep depths of failure, and that's really big with me, because I've failed so many times. Yeah, but the whole deal is Albert Einstein, he was one of them people that he made one yes happen, and it changed 1,000 O's. So I just wanted to commend you. Hold on, stand by. I'm actually outside commuting. I was sitting out at the park listening to the show, but I want to really – let you know I appreciate in depth how you broke it down with the 12-cell program and everything. Yeah, y'all really doing a lot of good things for the people. People need to hear this kind of stuff.
Oh, sir. Thank you so much. You know, that's an interesting point. You know, this, interesting enough, when Einstein was a kid, you know, he wasn't even able to speak until he was 4 years old. His parents thought he was subnormal. He was expelled from school. His teachers described him as mentally slow. This is one of the most brilliant persons on the planet who's ever existed. So it doesn't matter what one starts. It matters where one actually finishes. And unfortunately, for the pain and the negativity associated with this failure to literally keep us from becoming the person that we're supposed to be oftentimes if we don't actually get a handle on this and change that perspective. But thank you so much for the support and the comments, sir.
Well, I got one more thing to say, man, and to all the listeners out there in radio land, my name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I really appreciate this platform. But being a pastor, I come to figure out God is going to give you a vision, and because the people are not willing to put in the sacrifice, the hard work, the effort to bring that vision through, they're not going to be able to see it in the same light you're going to see it in. So in the midst of some people telling you you're a failure, the success comes once the fall happens. But you can't know how far you're going to go until you fall down. So that's it, man. I really love y'all. I'm going to listen to the rest of the show. I'll be right here.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for joining in the conversation. Really appreciated his thoughts that he mentioned. Because sometimes if you don't fall, you don't know that you can succeed. I was reminded of Thomas. I think it was Thomas Jefferson, who came with the light. No, not Jefferson. Edison. Thomas Edison. Sorry, wrong person. I was thinking about him and how, he came up. He said, "Well, I found out this X number of times of how to create a light bulb," but he didn't know that if he didn't try.
Yeah.
You know, and I think. Thank you. I think failure also, we should look at it positively because it lets us know that we kept going at it and we didn't give up, even though we didn't succeed the first time, the 10th time, the 12th time. You keep moving, you keep pushing forward. And I think with the younger generation, they don't understand what it means to continue even when it doesn't look as if you have success. And George, I love the example you said about Albert Einstein. You said they said he was subhuman almost, like he's just really stupid. And like I said, one of the brilliant people in the world, you know, and that should be encouraging to those of us who feel as if we failure is our period. It's the end of our story. And it's not, like you said. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I heard that my whole life growing up in my community. I mean, you're not smart. You're slow. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that, and those kind of things. And there was, at one point, Parker, I must admit that I internalized that, and I wanted to accept it because I thought that was my place. But there was something nagging at me in my spirit that said, "But you're more than this. I mean, you're a smart kid." And I tell you, the grades that I produced didn't indicate that. But, you know, you go through life and you realize that, how do you go from failing kindergarten, failing the first grade versus the other grades, graduating high school, and actually getting 4 degrees, 2 masters? I actually got 17 hours toward a doctorate. I mean, all of these kinds of things. And the one thing that I did was I changed that perspective, my mindset on how I accept, understand, embrace, and respond to failure.
That's the wonderful thing that you said, and I hope those of you who are listening are just blessed by these words. And we're at the top of the hour, so we got to get ready to close it down today. And so, George, tell us if we want to connect with you on social media, how can we do that? Or if you have a website, if you don't have social media. I know some people don't have social media, so tell us about it.
So I do have a Facebook page that I've been working on, and it's just Failure is Not the Problem. That'll be the Facebook name. My email address is simply george@georgeamilton.com. I say again, george@georgeamilton.com. And I do have a website, and it's www.georgeamilton.com. Georgeamilton.com is the actual website.
George, in the few moments we have left, I always want to give you an opportunity to just give us some final thoughts. And as this is a Christian show, a lot of our thoughts are often based in our faith in Jesus Christ and what he does for us. And I can tell that this show is probably going to really uplift someone's spirit as they realize that even though I failed, it's not the end of the story. I can't reiterate that enough. And I was just helped listening to you because you actually broke a chain for me saying, is it the change or the discipline? And discipline is something you can hone. And that just, I said, okay, I just have to hone that. And I can't wait to see what other steps people will learn as they pick up your workbook, which has that 12-step program structured on how you can change your mindset regarding failure, and particularly your formula F plus RR equals S, and that's failure plus right response equals success. So in the few moments we have left, go ahead, just give us some last words of wisdom to share with our listeners today.
Let me start off with a quote, and then I'll finish it up with just a comment. But it simply, and this is by Anonymous, and it says, you know, before God's footstool to confess, a poor soul knelt and bowed his head. "I failed," he cried. "The master said, thou did thy best. That is success." See, failure doesn't come from God. You know, it's interesting. The Bible teaches us that, you know, God says, "I have not given you a spirit of fear." So if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, where does that actually come from? Oftentimes it comes from where? The environment by which we find ourselves, or those folks we associate with, past experiences that we've dealt with and not handled those in the right sorts of ways. I would encourage all of those to remember are in a situation whereby there has to be change and you're worried about failing. Reach out.
How will you absolutely know what you're able to accomplish if you don't take action and just merely reach out and go and attempt to accomplish whatever it is that God has actually placed, number one, upon your heart? Number two, it's whatever it is you believe that God has created you to be. I am convinced of this. Every single person that is within listening ear has a purpose that God has actually put them on the planet for, because they're still here. So please, you know, allow failure to actually get you from where you are to where you're meant to be. Thank you for your time, Parker.
George, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
I am delighted about today and look forward to visiting with you in the future, Parker. Thank you so much, and thank you to your listening audience. What a blessing this has been.
And we were talking today to George Milton. He is the author of the book, Failure is Not the Problem, It's the Beginning of Your Success. What's really exciting is that Failure is Not the Problem is patented, and he's going to have more to help you really change your mindset about failure. So I can't wait to be one of the conduits to share that message with you. I was blessed, and I hope you were too. If you want to visit him online, you can go to georgemilton.com, visit him online, and I know he'll be more than happy to help you. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.